Dear Father, thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for this chance to come together and pray that we're in one accord, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd be here in our midst. Father, especially I pray that you would anoint the words of my lips. Father, that they would not be my words, but that they would be yours. I pray that you would anoint the reading of the scripture and help us to glean what we can from what you have to say to us tonight, and help us to understand your word, and help us to glorify you in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, if you can turn to Romans chapter 5. I'm only going to be talking about verses 6 through 8, but I'd like to read the whole chapter. I'm reading out of the King James Version. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet sinners, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was not in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. Sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is offered is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay. As I said, the main text is going to be verses 6 through 8. Verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Now, the word for without strength is asthenes, from a negative particle and the base of 45:99, strengthless in various applications, literal, figurative, and moral, more feeble, impotent, sick, without strength, weak. Basically, without strength. It's kind of self-explanatory. And so, Christ, when we were without strength, which was when? Right, that was before Christ. Because when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for us. So obviously, before Christ died, we were without strength. I want to look at where it says, in due season. I have some other verses I'd like to look at that use the same phrase, or about the same type of phrase. Can somebody look up Galatians 4, 3 through 5? And then somebody else, Ephesians 1, 9 through 12. Which one?
Ephesians.
Okay. Somebody getting Galatians? Galatians 4, 3 through 5. Sure. Go ahead. Read Galatians 4, 3 through 5.
Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons.
Okay. So that uses the same... It's the same... Greek, Hebrew words, where it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So, there, not only did Christ die for us, for our sins, but we also receive adoption. Jessica, you want to read Ephesians 1, 9 through 12?
Yes, sir. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory.
Amen. So there, the fullness of times talks about gathering us all together, all the things together, which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him, who have obtained an inheritance, being predestined, which we can go off on that one, but I won't. According to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. So that states there that He works everything to His will and it's going to happen the way He wants it to happen, no matter what. And the next part I'd like to look at in that verse... where it says, Christ died for the ungodly. He died in behalf or instead of the ungodly. Because as we know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Are you still in Galatians 3? If you could read... Verses 13 and 14, please.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
So, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming cursed. Think about that. You think about what Christ has done. And Christ died for us. And as far as I'm concerned, that's good enough, or bad enough. But Christ not only just died, he died in the worst possible manner, in excruciating pain, and it was also the way he was executed was cursed. So he suffered and died and was cursed for us who were ungodly, who could really, at the time when he did it before we knew him, could really not care less about him. Okay, more on that, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. In John 15:13-17, and somebody please look up 1 John 3:16.
What's the first one? John 15, verses...
13 through 17.
Okay, I do have those.
Okay, will you read that?
Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other.
That's right. Love one another. Greater love has no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, the next verse, he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So, are you his friends? I won't ask for a show of hands, because I can't raise mine, because I don't always do what he commands. But so Christ laid down his life. Christ died for his friends, who are us, who at the point when he died were not his friends, were his enemies. Jabo?
1 John 3:16. Okay. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers.
That's right. So, some people will lay down their life for a good man or a righteous man. You know, of course, you know, I'll lay down my life for a righteous man or a good man. Okay, but what's a good man? Psalm 112:5, and somebody can look up Acts 11:22.
Acts 11:22.
Yes, through 24. Does somebody have the one in Psalms?
So what is Psalm?
Which Psalm? Psalm 112:5. Do you have that, Nathan?
Yeah.
Okay. Will you read that?
A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion.
Okay. And Acts 11:22, Fred?
Okay. You said 11:22. And 23 also?
Through 24.
Okay. The news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent
Barnabas
to
Antioch.
When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord.
Okay. So that's just one verse from the New Testament and one from the Old Testament. Just a brief description of a good man. In the Old Testament, a good man shows favor and lends and will guide his affairs with discretion. Of course, in the New Testament, it's a little different. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. So let's look at where it's, you know, it says, for a righteous man, one will one die. Peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Let's see. I have a passage here that shows where somebody was willing to lay down their lives. Romans 16:3. You got it?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, I'll go ahead and read this one. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Jesus Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So there was showing that there were some in that time who were willing to lay down their lives for others. The word dare, I looked that up, and the Greek word is tolmao. Can you say that?
Tolmao.
Tolmao.
Is it to or o?
Tol. Tolmao.
Tolmao. Tolmao without the second T.
Sounds Italian.
And it means boldness through the idea of extreme conduct, to venture by implication, to be courageous, be bold, boldly, dare, durst. So it's not a little thing. It's some would dare to die for a good man, and it means, you know, it would be an extreme thing, you know, not a little thing. And then verse 8 of our text said, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not after we got saved. You know, God did not look down through the corridor of time and see that we were going to choose us, so he saved us. We were going to choose him, so he saved us. No. By the way, God made that corridor of time. He predestined us. And while we were sinners, he died for us. When we were still cursing him and hating him is when he died for us. Not because he knew we would choose him. For what good is that if you love those who love you? Even the publicans and tax collectors do that. And it's not because we were Jews or Greeks, rich or poor, righteous or good, just plain sinners. And that is really why he died for us, because if he didn't die for us, there's nothing we could do. We could not have communion with him because we're sinners. And I have an example here. I was wondering, who here would be willing to lay down your life, to die, for your best friend? Okay. How about for your parents? How about for your siblings? Okay. Maybe somebody you go to work with or you go to school with. That's, you know, maybe just an acquaintance.
You don't count.
Okay. What about
to school with her siblings?
Yeah. So. And her mom.
How about, would you lay down your life for, say, Osama bin Laden? Or somebody from the Al-Qaeda? How many would be willing to lay down their life so that one of those people could go free?
If I knew that they had a fighting chance.
It depends what's in it for me.
Oh, I see.
It's all about you.
So,
yeah, exactly.
What was in it for Christ, I wonder? Fellowship? Nothing we could give him.
That's a great question. What did he stand to gain by doing this for us that he didn't already have?
Nothing.
What are we?
I guess it wasn't what he gained, it was what he knew others would gain.
Exactly. It was completely selfless. God died for us while we were yet sinners. We were not just not friends. We were enemies. Hence my example of Osama bin Laden. He orchestrated this plan to kill thousands of people. Now, I wonder how much harder would it be for us to be willing to die for that person. I wonder if I would see any less hands if your father or your mother or somebody you are really close to died in one of those towers. Might be a different story. Should it be? No. What if somebody came to your home and just out of hate, just because, went and killed off your whole family? And then you had a chance to, you had some evidence or something, there was a chance that you could set them free. Would you do it?
Wait,
if they got put in jail for killing your family and you
right.
set them free?
Right.
I wouldn't do it.
From the death sentence, we'll say.
Forget the evidence.
Well, it doesn't matter. Evidence, I'm just saying, if you had a chance to be able to keep them from getting the death sentence, say they're going out there to the firing squad and you go, wait, no, I'll go do it for them. Would any of us do that?
Depends.
Not likely.
Again, it depends.
No,
it
see,
depends
I think
on your
really...
Hold on.
I know
hold on,
what I'm
let me
saying. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to heaven. If my death helps that person get closer to God, I would greatly become my life.
But it's one thing
Amen.
To say it, it's another thing to do it, though.
And that's what we need to... And like I said, I'm not trying to condemn anyone or anything. I'm just saying, you know, we need to ask ourselves these questions. You know, I am readily willing. I mean, there is... I would not even need a split second to think about if somebody asked me, are you willing to die for Jesus? Oh, yeah. Now, if they said, are you willing to go through 20, 40, 80 years of torture for Jesus?
Just take it.
Kill yeah.
Me out. Just take me now.
Got a knife on you?
So, you know, it really makes us think, you know, Christ suffered the most horrible death that man can think of. Did you know that the word excruciating, there is only one way a person can experience excruciating pain, and that is through crucifixion, because the root word for excruciate is the same root for crucify. So the only way someone can experience excruciating pain, which is the worst pain there is to be crucified. And that's what Christ did for us. So, all that said, according to this text, Christ died for us because we are worth so much. Right?
No.
No?
Which version is that?
Wait, what?
It must be the New World Translation.
So confused.
Good. The whole idea was, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
No, it was a false statement.
Oh, okay.
Christ did not die for us because we're worth anything. Christ died for us because we are worth less on our own. There is nothing, we are worth nothing without Christ. So, for that point, I'd like to read Mark 2:17. It says, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole, have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So if we were worth much, then we could probably find a way of getting ourselves to heaven. You know, then Christ would have a reason to die for us. No, we're worthless. We're worth nothing on our own. We need a physician because we're sick. We can do nothing on our own. In fact, not only sick, dead. We must realize that we are sinners before we can come to that point. This was something that Christ said to the Pharisees and Sadducees, because they thought they were okay. But Jesus said, well, I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. If you think you're righteous, then there's nothing I can do for you. You have to come to a point where you realize that you're not righteous, that you're a sinner before Christ. Excuse me, before you can be saved. Okay, I want to read one more passage and let you think about it. Luke 18:9-14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you again today for this chance to come together to study your word. Father, I thank you that you have given us the written word, that we can study, that we can learn more of your truth. Father, I thank you for all the wonderful things that you've written. Thank you that you've left nothing untold, that we can always turn to the scripture and know that it will have something to help us with our situations. Lord, I thank you for this passage. Pray that you'll help it to sink into our hearts. Father, I pray that you'll help us to realize how much you've done for us. Father, you've done so much for us who were your enemies and wanted no part of you and of ourselves, Father. But you have called us. Thank you, Father, for calling us. Father, I pray that you'll help us to come before you in humility, not to exalt ourselves and lift ourselves up over above others. I thank you that you are there when we do such things to knock us back down. Father, I pray that you will chastise us. Lord, I know that you are faithful. Lord, I pray that the rest of this night as we fellowship and think about things and talk about things, and in the coming days as we go about our own ways and in our own life, Father, that we would remember these words and that we would be true to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.